Jean says, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And a better translation for this word, maybe your translation says sets aside or something like that. Maybe your translation says breaks there in verse 19. But the best translation for that word written in the Greek is relaxes. Now, that explains, it makes kind of things. It's not saying that you just, that if you don't have to be a lawbreaker, you just have to be a law relaxer. Uh-oh. You have to be a lawbreaker. You just have to be, well, you know, we can just kind of overlook some things. We can turn a blind eye to some things. We can just say, well, that really doesn't apply to me. You know, that was to somebody else in a different age. It's relaxed. It's say, well, you know, I'm not blatantly going out. And, you know, there was a time when Jesus, he made it very clear. He said, you know, look, you know that you're not supposed to kill people, right? But I'm going to tell you that if you just express hatred towards somebody, that's the same thing. Okay? You see, they got so tied up in the law that they found the loopholes. Y'all know anybody like that today? Yeah. Our government is full of them. Okay? Look for the loopholes. How can we still do wrong but call it right because we didn't actually break the law? And you know, that's kind of the same sense of relaxing. The rest of verse 19 says, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The one who's really fulfilling his role as a citizen of God's kingdom is one who follows God's commands and teaches others to do so as well. They will be recognized as the great ones in the kingdom. You see, God requires perfection. There's the problem. God requires perfection. He says, be holy as I am holy. He says, I'm the standard. This is your measurement for holiness right here. And he sent Jesus Christ so we'd have a visual picture of what that looks like. How many of y'all are meeting that standard? Do I dare see anybody raise their hand? No, not one in the room. So then we got a problem. If the problem is that God requires perfection and you and I are not absolutely perfect in everything we do and say, then what? Verse 20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, you know who they were, right? They were the theological conservatives of the day. They believed God. They believed His Word. They wanted to live lives that demonstrated their devotion to God. They were very careful about their behavior. Now, they get a bad rap, okay? And they did. They took it in a way that was not intended by the Lord. But one thing you could not say about them was that they lacked zeal and they lacked fervor. They lacked that passion for doing and believing and following the letter of the law. They went to great extremes to make sure they were not disobeying the law. To the people of the day, there was no one more righteous than the Pharisees. And Jesus says, if you're not better than them, the most righteous people you know, then the rest of that verse says, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. In essence, what that means is no one is good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not you, not me, not the person to your left, the person to your right, the person outside, the person in Walmart right now. How good is good enough? Perfect. That's good enough. Better than we are. More righteous than we are. Even the most righteous people are not qualified to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you're thinking that you're standing at the entrance of heaven, when you get there and you're hoping that you've been good enough to get in, Jesus, right here in these verses, tells us that we're going to be in for a big disappointment. No matter how good you are, it's not good enough. And that leaves us in a tough spot. Means that no one is qualified to enter the kingdom of heaven. So where does that leave us? It means we need something. These verses tell us three things that we need when it comes to being good. It says we need righteousness. Now, I'm not righteous enough to enter the kingdom of God. Correct, I'm not. We need somebody else's righteousness. We need perfection. We need perfect righteousness. But there is no perfect righteousness among us except Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, 20 through 22, I'm going to read just portions of these, says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Not even the Pharisees. He goes on, it says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Where my imperfection causes discord, Christ's perfection received by me restores that which was broken. That's a beautiful thing. How many of you are thankful that God made that way for us? Amen. 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 When we put our trust in Christ, He gives us His righteousness. And in God's eyes, He makes us completely righteous. Now, I don't understand how He can do that. I don't really fully grasp why He does that. But I know that He did. And I accept it and I receive it because I know I ain't got another chance. Right? Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 says, what the law was powerless to do, remember the law? Okay, it was powerless to do, God did by sending His own Son to be a sin offering in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. You talk about a loophole? This was a good one. God gave a great loophole, and that is Jesus Christ. The law has not been abolished. It's still there, and it still reveals God's will, but through Jesus Christ, I have met all its requirements. And again, I don't fully understand it, but I receive it. I accept it. I'm thankful for it. Now, there's another thing we need to know from these verses. Another thing we need is the Old Testament. Now, a lot of people say, well, that was for a different group of people. That was different things. Folks, you don't get the New Testament without the Old Testament. Amen. The New Testament is based upon the Old Testament. It's where the prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled in the New Testament. It goes together. It goes together. We need the Old Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, a very familiar verse, says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Does that mean Old and New Testaments? Absolutely. It's all God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need it all, folks. This is speaking of the Old Testament. It is still God's guide for us, and it's still a revelation of His righteous character. Another thing that we need that's described in these passages here is to do right. We need to do right. We don't need to do right in order to get God's love and acceptance, right? Because He said, you can't do that. You're not good enough to gain my acceptance, because we just can't be good enough. You know, I don't know how many times I've sinned already this morning, but if I haven't yet, it probably won't be long before the day's over, okay? Now, I don't know about you, and you're probably sitting there thinking, well, what kind of preacher is that? I'm an honest preacher. We need to do right. Not to gain God's acceptance. We already have God's acceptance. We have that through Jesus Christ. Remember, His blood made us righteous in His eyes. Whew, I'm so thankful for that. They're not, God's love and acceptance are not based on what we do, but on what Jesus did. We don't need to do the right things in order to look good to other people. It doesn't matter what other people think. Now, these are three good reasons why we need to do the right thing. Okay, the first, the best reason to do the right thing is because it's good for us. It's good for us. We often think of sin as a restriction from something good. Oh, well, I don't get to do that. Okay? Well, listen, sin is not candy. Sin is more like a poison. And what God is doing is putting the child locks on the doors and says, this is not where you need to go. Okay, now how many of y'all have had experience with those child locks on the cabinet doors and they're not really childproof? Has anybody ever had that experience? Yeah? You go in there and you find your kid playing in the bleach. Nobody's going to admit to that one, are they? No, and those little doorknobs that you put over the doorknob that you have to squeeze on it to be able to turn, because if the little hand gets on there, it just spins. They are ingenious. They will go where they're not supposed to go, regardless of what measures you put into place. Okay, that's part of human nature. But sin is not candy. It's not good for us. God tells us, or the reason God tells us to keep away is because it will kill us. So doing right is good for us. The second thing, doing right is what we were made for. Good is what we were meant to be. He gave us righteousness. That means He forgave us and declared us righteous, so that His righteousness would change who we are, affecting every area of our lives. Christ saved us so we could become like Him, not just in right behavior, but also in right thinking and in right believing. And the third, and perhaps the most important, when we do right, we are preparing a gift to bring pleasure to the most important person in our life, and that is Jesus Christ. If you have been forgiven and you understand what Jesus has done for you, how can you not love Him and want to show Him that love? Now, we often show people love by giving them gifts, right? How many of you have ever given a gift because you love somebody? How many of you have ever given a gift because you did somebody wrong and you're trying to make it right? Yeah. We give gifts because we love. Well, God gave us a great and awesome gift because He loves us. You know how we show our love for God? Let's look at what Scripture has to say about that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this, "This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome." God says, you want to show your love to me? This is how you do it. Obey me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, says, so we make it our goal to please Him. And verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, when it says things done in the body, that's here and now. I mean, you have a body. Everybody here has a body. You may not like your body. Sometimes I really do not like my body. There was a time in the past when I absolutely hated my body. Okay, maybe I'm just learning to accept certain things now. But we're in the body, right here, right now. Whether good or bad, our deeds will be presented as a gift. And reading this verse, it's easy to think of this judgment as a trial, the judgment seat of Christ. It's like a trial. Well, when you think of a trial, you immediately feel guilty. It's like getting called to the principal's office. Anybody ever get called to the principal's office? They had a chair with my name on it. I frequented the principal's office a lot. Now, if you... I'll stop there. But that's not what the judgment seat of Christ is like. It's not like a trial. One day we're going to stand before God at a celebration of His honor. By the way we live our lives, we're preparing a gift for Him, the one who created us, the one who forgave us, the one who rescued us, the one who cared for us and brought us back to life. And that is a life forever. On that day, the gifts will be opened and the contents revealed. The question is, what will you be giving the King at His celebration? What's in your gift bag? What have you been putting in your gift bag? The Bible says that Everything, whether good or bad, that's done here now, will be presented. When we all stand before Him on that day, I think we will suddenly realize fully the extent of what Jesus has done for us. And on that day, we'll finally get it. Now, I have a better understanding now than I used to of what just exactly what it was that Christ did for me. But I know that I don't fully comprehend it yet. But I will. I will. And we will all want to be able to give Jesus everything. We'll want to show Him our love, our complete devotion, our allegiance. But at that point, you know, some of y'all are already thinking about Christmas shopping. Some of you have already done some Christmas shopping. But at that point, folks, the shopping days are done. They're over. Whatever gift we have prepared is the only gift we'll have to present. Now, we've got to get over the mentality that says this. Well, if I can't be good enough to get to heaven, but I can rely on Jesus to get me there, then why even bother trying anymore? If my behavior doesn't get me to heaven, but Jesus does, then I'll just take Jesus and just toss the rest and not worry about it. We got to get over that mentality. And we see that thought process in all of life. Maybe you've heard somebody say, well, I'll just work hard enough to not get fired. Maybe you know somebody like that. They work just hard enough to not get fired from their job. Is this good enough to keep my job? If I get to church at least twice a month, that's good enough. Right? Well, I mean, you know, when you consider all things, twice ought to be good enough. I mean, it's better than nothing. It ought to be good enough. We've got to get past that mentality too. I know that a tithe is 10%, but listen, 7 is better than half, right? 7 is better than 5%. So if I just kind of come in a little bit, you know, I'm just going to relax what God said a little bit when He said tithe, and I'm just going to take into consideration, you know, that, well, maybe I'll tithe on my after-tax income, or, you know, there's a big debate, or was it talking about before taxes, after taxes? Well, there was no taxes then, so it's really a pointless issue. It's really a matter of the heart. But folks, if you come in and say, well, you know, well, that was cool, but listen, seven, I mean, you know, 7 out of 10, that's a C. And listen, I'm a C student, and I'm glad to get a C. It's passing. It's good enough. I'm accepting a C. I like C's. We got to get past that attitude. I was a C student. I was happy to get a C. I was just, you know, by the skin of my teeth. That's okay. I passed. Going on to the next one. I got to tell you, that changed for me in college. When the Lord got a hold of me, called me to ministry, and I got out of all those other classes I was in and enrolled in the religious education courses through Howard Payne University, I started making A's. I'd never made A's like that before. And it wasn't easy, but it was something that was completely different. I was passionate about it. It was what I was called to be and do. And when I figured that out, that I thrived. And that was important. How many of you would like to come out of surgery? And you know, the surgeons, they do it like a consult afterwards. How many of you would feel comfortable when you come out of that surgery and the surgeon says, you know, well, I could have done better, but you know, it'll probably be good enough. Anybody want to see that surgeon? What do you expect from your surgeon? You want him to come in and say, look, it was better than we thought. We got in there, we even found some other issues, and we took care of it all, and you're not going to have any more problems with that for the rest of your life. I mean, that's what we want to hear, right? We don't want to hear, well, it ought to be, it's good enough. Folks, I don't want good enough. I want the very best. God doesn't want good enough. He wants the very best. Is He not worthy of our very best? Absolutely, he's worthy of our very best. Why do we think we can skim by and slack off? Listen, when it all boils down to it, the only reason we settle for good enough is because of laziness. We get lazy. Well, to get an A takes more effort. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. To get the reward of God saying, well done. Folks, I long to hear those words. But those words don't come cheap. They don't come by the skin of my teeth. They come not because good enough was just good enough. They come because I've tried my very, very best. Have you ever... God does not call us to be lazy. He called us to be watchful, to be mindful, to be active, to stand guard, to fight the battle against self. Have you ever heard anyone say that, man, I'm just afraid of being too good? You ever heard that? No. Never heard anybody say, I'm just afraid of being too good. I mean, honestly, I mean, they may have said that a little sarcastically or with a little trying to in talk about some false humility. Well, I'm just so good, I just can't hardly stand myself. You know, but honestly, have you ever heard anybody say, I'm afraid of being too good? The only good enough that is truly good enough is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, he was good enough. The best. The rest of us, we need to pick up the pace. We need to decide whether or not we're really grateful what Christ has done for you and for me. And if we are, it's time to live a life that shows our gratitude. The time is now. While we're in the body, while you have a body, whether you like it or not, it's yours, you've got it. And while you're in it, what you do counts. It's more than just about you. It's so much more than just about you. Listen, if you were an unbeliever, and if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, just pretend for a moment you're an unbeliever, okay? And you're looking for something that was meaningful, something that would change your life. Are you going to be inspired by a Christian who lives and acts the same way you do? I mean, if you're looking for an easy out, well, wait, he gets to call himself a Christian, and I don't have to change anything? Okay, I'm in. Well, let me ask you something. Does that person really understand what Christ has done? Has that person really and truly encountered in an engaging relationship with the Christ? No, I don't think so. If you have, then you understand, and you understand that you've been called to more. For somebody looking for something that is real, for something that is genuine, something that is truly life-changing, folks, I got to tell you, good enough just ain't good enough. If I'm looking to devote my life to something, I'm not going to be looking for something that's just good enough. I want the very best. Jesus Christ is the very best. He's the top of the line. There's not even a comparison to Jesus Christ. You and I fall short. We do. The Bible even tells it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's the TV preachers, that's the evangelists, that's Gerald Crabb that was here. Everybody, even Warren Henley. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And like I said, I fully don't fully completely comprehend it, but God said, but I love you anyway. And I am going to take care of what you could not do so that we can be together. That's just love. There's no other reason God would do that for you and for me. He loves us. Question is, do we love Him back? And if so, how much? Do we love Him enough to say that good enough just ain't good enough? And I'm going to give you my very best. I'm not sure where you are today. I hope and pray that you're a believer in Christ. And if you're not like Hal said, let's wrap that thing up today. Let's get that part behind you and let's go on down the road, because God has more for you than you could ever even imagine. More than your mind can conceive, more than your ears have heard. We don't have a clue what all the things that God has in store for us. You could begin that journey today. But maybe you're here this morning and you have received Christ and you've been living a life and you've tried and you've thought, well, maybe, you know, you've kind of slacked off and compromised here and compromised there. You've relaxed some of the ordinances and the things of God. And you've just kind of been living a life that kind of looks like every other life that's lived out there. And it's, you know, well, that worked for them. It's good enough for me. Folks, God didn't call you to be like everybody else. He called us to be set apart, sanctified. That means set apart, made holy for His purposes. That's you and that's me. That's those that believe in Jesus Christ. That's our call. Are you willing to step back up to the plate and say, I'm back in, Lord. I don't know what happened, and I don't even want to try to explain it. I just know that it was not right, but today, right here, right now, I want to come back. I want to be all in. I want to be completely, fully committed. I want to do, my good enough is not good enough for you. Although I can't be perfect, I can sure be better than what I am right now. And I can certainly do more than what I am right now. I can give more than what I'm giving right now. I can be more than what I'm being right now. And I want to do that because it brings you honor and you glory. And I want to give you my very best. Maybe that's you today. If that's so, here in just a moment, the altar will be open. I'll be standing up here. Rebecca's going to join me here shortly. She'll be up here. If you want one of us to pray with you or both of us, we would love to pray with you. But the truth is, I love the song that we sang that talked about the veil being torn. Oh, I love that we don't have to go through somebody to get to Christ. He says, come on in. Come on in. You can go straight to the Father. The question is, will you? Would you? Father in heaven, Lord, today, we thank you for your word, for all of your word. The Old Testament, the New Testament. Lord, we thank you for all of it. It is all good for us. And Father, it teaches us. It teaches us what you want from us. It teaches us some perils of those who have gone the other way. Lord, continue to show us, to reveal to us what your plan for us is. And Lord, may you find us a people that is devoted to you, a people that says, I'm not going to live a life that looks like every other life out there lived. My God deserves better than that. He made me, and he made me to live for him, so that's what I'm going to do. My good enough just hasn't been good enough, so I've got to give better. Maybe that's you. Would you tell him that today? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love us so much that we don't even understand. It's incomprehensible to us. Oh, but Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you that that love is real and it's tangible. Thank you, Father, that you've made a way to restore a relationship that was broken by sin. Father, we do love you. Help us. Give us courage. Give us the boldness to show it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for a moment?